Welcome to Courageous Conversations. I'm your host and author of the book Freedom from Shame. I created this podcast to discuss one of the most sensitive and challenging topics, finding freedom from the impact of sexual abuse. In this podcast, we'll bring to light the stories of survivors, share valuable insights from experts, we'll hear from brave people who are willing to take responsibility for the harm they've caused, and we'll explore various aspects of healing and recovery. Together, we'll navigate the complexities of overcoming trauma and finding the strength to reclaim our lives. So whether you're a survivor seeking solace, an ally eager to understand, or someone simply looking for inspiration, you've come to the right place. You found a safe place where courage meets compassion and where the journey towards healing takes flight. So I want to give a little bit of a content warning here. This podcast is for informational purposes, and we talk about childhood sexual abuse, and the content that we talk about may trigger memories or bring up some difficult feelings. So please, please, please take care of yourself and get some support from a professional if you experience any emotional distress. Today, we're going to be talking about boundaries, setting boundaries, reclaiming your space. A young child doesn't want to go with a caregiver. Pulls away from an aunt or uncle trying to pick them up, turns their head when someone tries to kiss them, or throws a tantrum when told that they have to eat something that they don't like. These are some of the ways that a young child tries to set a boundary to protect their space and their bodies. Children generally don't have the capacity to skillfully set a boundary, so they need help learning. In a future episode, we'll talk about how parents and caregivers can empower children to stand up for themselves, what they can do to guide and teach children on how to set healthy boundaries, and how to recognize the warning signs a child might give when they're being harmed. Today, the focus is on survivors of childhood sexual abuse, and we're exploring the complexities of setting boundaries, what gets in the way of us being able to set boundaries as adults after abuse has happened, and how to start setting them. I'm going to share some of my personal experience of learning how to set boundaries and give you some questions to help you move in the direction of setting healthy boundaries with yourself and others. And I am a survivor of childhood sexual abuse. I remember very clearly the day that the abuse stopped. Instead of continuing to pretend to be asleep while it happened, I jumped up from the bed, screamed a resounding no, and left the room. The abuse never happened again. If you were abused as a kid and didn't try to stop the abuse, or you tried and it didn't work, please know that in no way did you fail or do anything wrong. In many situations, trying to stop the abuse could have resulted in additional harm. So you did the best that you could, and you're here today, which proves that you survived. And now I want to help you thrive. In my child's mind, I didn't recognize the power of my no until after I wrote my book, Freedom from Shame. Then I was able to integrate what I had done as a young adolescent trying to stop the abuse, or actually stopping the abuse. I did have the power to stop it, but I experienced the ending of the abuse more as a loss than an expression of my power. While I stopped the abuse from happening again, the damage had been done. The impact of setting a boundary led to a loss of affection and attention that I no longer received after the abuse. So my father distanced himself from me, and the nice back rubs or the gentle non-sexual touching also stopped. For many years, I unconsciously believed that setting a boundary and saying no leads to abandonment, to feeling alone and unloved and uncared for. I lived out this fear of abandonment in my adult relationships, and I was unable to set a boundary with partners. For many people, the boundary we set can be so harsh also that it pushes people away, leaving them no room to get close. So it can be a really harsh boundary or a really loose boundary. For me, the abuse and its impact goes much deeper than not being able to set a boundary. I yearned for connection and believed that if I asked for something different than what was being offered, then my partner would surely leave and I would be alone. It's not a bad thing for an adult woman to be alone when they're not getting their needs met. But for a young child, being left alone can feel devastating and life-threatening. As I grew into adulthood, I wasn't aware that I was making choices from that hurt part of me, which I'm learning from my own experience and working with hundreds, if not thousands of people, that the problems we experience in adult life originate more from the meanings we make when the abuse first happens than the actual abuse. I'm going to say that again. The problems that we experience in adult life originate more from the meanings we make when the abuse first happens than the actual abuse. And I say this not to minimize the abuse, but to give hope that you have the power to learn how to grow beyond the impact of the abuse. You absolutely do. So let's look at what happens as we grow up. There's a disconnect in that space between being a young child and growing into adulthood, where the child interpretation of what happened doesn't get challenged. And then we live our lives in a kind of trance through the lens of those beliefs that we make up about what happened. So the problems that we have in our lives and relationships then arise from setting boundaries from inside of these false beliefs. So we're actually, if you can imagine a lens that you live your life through, and the lens is the false belief. So maybe it's, I'm invisible, I'm unloved, I'm unworthy, I don't matter, which is mine. And so if you're living your life in through that lens and setting boundaries from that place, you're going to set boundaries that align with that belief system. So let's look at one of the beliefs to illustrate how this happens. If you believe that you don't matter, which, as I mentioned, is my core false belief, then you'll treat yourself like you don't matter. And so some of the ways that I treated myself like I didn't matter are not giving myself the nutrition or nourishment or care that I needed to be healthy. I prioritized what other people wanted and ignored what I wanted. I didn't even take the time actually to know what I wanted. I just immediately abandoned myself and looked to other people to see what they wanted so I could align with them. I assumed that I didn't matter. So I held that as, because I believed I didn't matter, I assumed that I didn't matter to other people. And so I didn't share what was important to me because I was convinced from that child belief that they wouldn't care. I made other people's dreams a priority instead of committing to my own. And I designed a life of doing instead of being. So I was out there doing all of these things, trying to prove my value, to make myself indispensable so that I mattered to somebody, but I was utterly disconnected from myself. And I kind of waited for life to happen to me instead of choosing the life that I want and pursuing that. So if you think about the impact the choices that I made had on the quality of my life, you can see from these examples that I was living life to avoid asking for too much, to avoid being abandoned. And it was completely out of a fear that I would lose the little connection that I had. The reason we grow up with false beliefs about ourselves is that there's no adult telling the child the truth about what happened to them. And the truth about the meaning that they were making. If there were, it would sound something like this. Sweetheart, I see you. You didn't do anything wrong. You didn't cause this. The person who hurt you crossed a boundary, and that's not your fault. You're not alone. I'm here with you. You may not have mattered to this person, but you matter to me, and I will protect you and make sure nobody else hurts you. I'll teach you how to say no and help you learn how to set boundaries so this never happens again. But most important, sweetheart, you deserve to be treated with respect and care and love. You matter. You matter to me. So this is your adult self now speaking to the younger self, who's telling you the truth about what happened. It's not your fault. Not one aspect of what happened is your fault or your responsibility, but the aftermath of it, what you do with it, is your responsibility. It is yours to deal with today. It's yours to, don't take responsibility for what happened to you, but you take responsibility for what you do with what happened to you. And the biggest change I see survivors making in their lives, and the biggest changes that they're making, and then the impact of those changes in their lives and their relationships, is when they're making decisions present and centered in the adult that they are today. And this takes practice because of how unconsciously those beliefs live through us. It's necessary, absolutely necessary, to stay present in today, to be able to set healthy boundaries today and for the life that you want to live. It's understandable that we live from that hurt child. You know, we grow up so slowly, breath by breath. It's not like you're a child and have some harm done to you, have abuse happen to you, and then all of a sudden you're an adult with this logical mind that knows that it wasn't your fault. No, we're growing up slowly, breath by breath, second by second, you know, day by day, month by month, year by year, decade by decade, and that hurt part becomes so embedded in who we are as adults that it can be very difficult to discern, to know if it's the abused part of us that's making the choices or our adult self. One of the most important capacities to develop as an adult healing from abuse and learning how to set boundaries is the capacity to stay centered and present in your adult self. I'd say this is kind of a boundary in a way of setting with yourself, that you will stay present in, you know, this day, this time, this year. So it really does take time and effort, though, to notice where your reactions are coming from and how to intercept them. So while we're talking about setting boundaries, you'll also need to learn how to stay centered in your adult self without shaming or annihilating the younger part of you. This part of you is the part actually that needs your love the most, not your condemnation, not your harshness, not your criticalness, but your compassion and kindness and love, because you understand more than anybody what you went through, what that younger part of you went through so long ago. So it's really my mission in life to help people learn how to do this. And you can start with reading my book, Freedom from Shame. It offers a lot of guidance. So as you embark on the journey of learning how to set healthy boundaries, know that you're not walking alone. Many people have gone before you, me included. And I'm a regular person just like you, who's had her heart broken and her trust betrayed. And the result of being abused is that we don't know how to set boundaries. But the good news is that setting healthy boundaries is a learnable skill for anyone who wants to create happy, healthy, and safe relationships. So let's look at one definition of boundaries. Boundaries are the limits and rules that we set for ourselves, and I'm including within relationships. This is one aspect of it. So there are many, many kinds of boundaries, but the commonality in all of them is that boundaries are meant as a way to keep yourself safe from being harmed or from harming others. A simple boundary that a person can have when they're, you know, if they have the thought of sexually abusing someone, is to have a boundary with themselves that they won't do it. You know, even if you have the thought of it, you don't have to act on that. So anyway, let's not go in that direction today. A person with healthy boundaries can say no to others when they want to, which is something I had an extremely hard time doing for much of my life. It's easy now, so just know that it does get easier. Healthy boundaries are limits that you set that are appropriate for the situation. So they're neither too loose, nor are they too rigid, which is a skill in itself, being able to discern that.
and know the difference. Is this just a, you know, blanket no, blanket boundary, rigid boundary that you just are setting just from the fear that you have? Or have you thought it through and stayed present to what's actually needed in this moment, in this circumstance, in this situation? When you first become aware of a lack of boundaries and your capacity, your ability to set a boundary, if you haven't, like myself, I wasn't setting hardly any boundaries, this pendulum can swing to the opposite end of the spectrum and you could end up with very rigid boundaries. So it's okay if this happens, you know, that I'm really advocating for that presence and capacity to know not too loose, not too rigid boundaries. But when you're first learning how to set boundaries, it's really okay for it to go to the swing to the opposite end of the spectrum, because you're on the journey. And this happens as long as you know, it's okay, because you're in the process of learning how to discern and balance the boundaries that you set. So you set a boundary and you get feedback from that boundary, and you collect evidence on what's working and the result of it. And then you start to get masterful in setting appropriate boundaries. And so you understand why you're setting a boundary instead of arbitrarily or inconsistently enforcing boundaries that aren't related to the circumstances. So those are just some thoughts around the actual boundary setting. And so I have a few points here, key points to discuss today. And the first key to setting healthy boundaries is to recognize your right to boundaries. Children who have been abused often believe that they have, that they don't have a right to set boundaries. They have no right in setting boundaries, including your right to say no. And boundaries serve as a protective barrier, not just physically, but emotionally and mentally. They safeguard your well-being, and they let others know how you want to be treated. Understanding and acknowledging your absolute right to set boundaries is a fundamental step in reclaiming your autonomy and personal space. The risk, there's always a risk in setting boundaries, and that is that people won't honor them, or they'll leave the relationship. Maybe they'll get angry at you for setting a boundary, especially if you haven't set one before. They're not used to it. And so there is a risk to that, of course. And I'm encouraging you to learn how to communicate your boundaries in ways that minimize the potential loss, while at the same time learning how to tolerate the fears that accompany setting a boundary and being willing to let people and situations go if they're not willing to honor your boundaries. And so you can't change the current circumstances that don't work for you if you don't take this risk. So this is part of what is involved with it. It's part of the territory, and they go together. Boundaries also help you define who you are and how you interact with the world around you. With this said, if you were abused as a kid, then your sense of self has likely been compromised. It impacts how you show up in the world and what you're willing to settle for in relationships and with many other people or work, or it like crosses all barriers there. It's kind of like that enmeshed relationship with the younger part makes it difficult to discern, you know, where those boundaries are. In the context of recovering from abuse, reclaiming yourself after abuse, then setting boundaries is really a particularly crucial step as it allows you to rebuild a sense of control and safety that was compromised early in life. So learning how to set healthy boundaries includes having an awareness of each situation and responding accordingly instead of with that immovable no that doesn't consider what's needed in each moment. But again, you know, there's a process to this. And if you're setting really rigid boundaries. That's okay as you get started. As you learn and grow, that will also evolve with you. And then there are some boundaries that will just be deal breakers, like letting someone into your personal space when you haven't invited them to get physically close to you. I write about an experience in my book, Freedom from Shame, where I was unable to set a boundary with someone that I didn't know. And it was really scary for me. One evening, I was in a community pool at a resort. There were about 15 friends, and we were all standing together in a circle talking. And there were many additional people outside of our circle whom I didn't know. You know, it was a community pool. It was a lot of people there. And out of the corner of my eye, I felt the presence of a man entering the pool. And in an instant, total dread shot through my body, and I immediately felt safe. I didn't know why. I'd never met this guy before. All he's doing is entering the pool. But the hairs on the back of my neck went up, which I think often will happen when we've been abused. We have a heightened sense of danger in a way that we also need to learn how to discern. Well, he walks into the pool and he makes his way into our circle. As he comes closer and closer, I become more and more paralyzed with fear, and he keeps edging closer. Now, chronologically, here I am, 42 years old when this happened, but emotionally, I was 11, frozen in time, just completely frozen in time. And I just sit there, or, you know, stand there in the water, waiting for the space between us to be consumed by this man, because I know it's happening and I can't move. I can't move away. I'm completely incapacitated of stopping his advances. And he's, you know, just coming closer. And I don't even remember breathing even one time. It was as if everything was standing still and moving in slow motion. And he's making his way into our circle and standing right next to me. And then he puts his arm around me and he pulls me closer to him, and I let him. I may even have smiled in an effort to deny my discomfort. Luckily for me, a friend in the circle noticed something is off and stepped in to rescue me, and the trance was broken and I was safe. But my point is that I was not in the present moment. I was in the center. I was in that lens, living through that young child that was abused, and I couldn't move. I had no capacity to move at all. As a child, I didn't believe that I had a right to say no. And so here this child is in the same place. I couldn't say no. But here I am an adult, and I couldn't protect myself. That abused child was 100% present, and I wasn't there to protect myself. I treated myself in the moment like my space and safety didn't matter. I couldn't speak. I was experiencing the trauma as if it were happening right then and there because I couldn't set a boundary. I created a potentially very unsafe situation for myself, and I really got at that point that I had to learn how to reclaim my right to set boundaries. I had to reclaim my voice. I had to reclaim my space, my body for myself, or I would be at the mercy of anyone who wanted anything from me. And I'm saying all of this, and you know, I have a lot of awareness around that process looking back on it, but in the moment, it was, that awareness wasn't there. It's really important to give ourselves compassion. You know, I acknowledge that, and it's important to acknowledge this, that freezing is a trauma response, and I was inside of a trauma response. And that lack of presence where I left my body and was back in that 11-year-old young girl who couldn't take care of herself and was terrified and just frozen. And that's a trauma response. So today I can see that. But at the time, it was just living through my whole body. So this is something that can be learned. You know, you can grow and evolve to the point where you can catch that. I'm able to catch it today. I have a really strong sense of myself and I'm able to stay present. And it's a learnable skill, you know, and still I may have that hair on the back of my neck go up and go, oh, you know, oh, freeze. But today I ground myself in that adult self, my adult self, stay present with where I am today, who I am today, and then commit to taking care of this young part that's scared. So recognizing my right to boundaries and understanding that my comfort matters was a turning point for me. But knowing this isn't enough. I had to learn how to stay present as the adult that I am so that I could appropriately stop any future abuse from happening. And it didn't happen overnight. I needed a lot of practice. And the first step was learning about boundaries. In the beginning, I didn't even know what they were. So let's take a few minutes for a journal exercise. If you take a minute to get a pen and paper, always come to this podcast, these episodes with a pen and paper, because I'll probably have you do some kind of exercise, awareness raising exercise. And so it takes your time to answer these questions. And if you're listening to the recording, then feel free to pause between questions and take as much time as you need to answer them from a thoughtful place. So let's go ahead and get started. The first question is, and again, this is about raising your awareness around boundaries. So the first question is, what did you learn growing up about setting boundaries? Was it okay to say no, or did you get in trouble if you put up any resistance? Number two, did everyone in your family have an equal right to set boundaries, or were they skewed in some way? Did one person set all the boundaries and the other people had to follow along? Number three is take a moment to reflect on what boundaries mean to you and why they're important. So what do boundaries mean to you and why are they important to you today? That might change over, you know, as you work with these, as you work with setting boundaries and learning more. But what does it mean to you today? Number four, write down some times where you feel that your boundaries were violated and how those moments, those experiences made you feel. What did you believe about those boundaries being violated? And this is this is a question to imagine in the future. You know, if there were no negative repercussions, nothing bad would happen, nothing, there would be no loss involved, what boundaries would you set? So take some time to look at your relationships and your work and even boundaries with your own self-care. What boundaries would you set? And then the last question in this part is, what stops you from setting those boundaries? Really important. Is it fear? Is it not knowing how? Is it something else? What stops you from setting those boundaries? So the second key is to take a step to reinforce your right to have boundaries. And reinforcing your right to boundaries starts with telling yourself the truth about your right to have boundaries. Now, I am not a big fan of affirmations because I believe that there's the subconscious often overrides an affirmation. For example, if you really believe that you don't matter, you can't just tell yourself that you matter. It's like, no, I don't. You actually that these types of affirmations have to be backed up with actions where you treat yourself like you matter, even when you believe you don't. And then you'll collect the evidence of your mattering. In that situation, I would work with an affirmation of something like, I'm excited at the thought of mattering, or I'm excited at the thought of really being cared for, whatever that belief that you're combating. So there is a way that I have found. I think that though that's effective to be able to say, I'm excited at the thought of something, then your subconscious gets on board and says, yeah, I am excited at the thought of that. So there's no disconnect from your conscious to your subconscious. But there's another way to use affirmations that I've found to be pretty effective. And so first, create a personal affirmation that reinforces your right to set boundaries. So for instance, I'm worthy of respect and my comfort matters. Or you could say, I have the right to set boundaries. You could even say that. Setting boundaries is easy. So this is your personal affirmation. But the next step is to stay 100% in your adult self here in present time, grounding yourself in today. You know, you notice your feet on the ground and you feel yourself breathing. And then from this place, imagine that you're talking from this adult, mature presence. Imagine that you're talking to your younger self and tell them what's true. You really have to be able to get the separation between who you are today and that younger part that feels that she doesn't matter, or he doesn't matter, or whatever, the actual belief is. I'm using I don't matter as a example, because I'm so familiar with that one. So talking to your younger self might sound something like this. Sweetheart, you are worthy of respect. You don't have to do anything to prove your worthiness. Your comfort matters to me, and I'll take care of you. You matter. You matter to me. And so this is when you're telling yourself that, you're telling your younger self that, there's a healing balm that comes over, that kind of like can wash over you. But the only way I've seen that really happen is when you're able to have the separation between your adult and younger self. So if you need any help with that, reach out to me and I'm happy to help you with that so that you can have a real experience of it, a personal experience of it, being guided through that. So, you know, when you're regularly repeating these affirmations in a form of a conversation from your adult self to your younger self, it can bolster your belief. It will bolster your belief in your right to personal boundaries, or whatever the beliefs are, counteracting whatever those beliefs are. And over time, you'll integrate this new belief into your current life, and you'll be able to set boundaries knowing that you're there for yourself. So that is key number two. And key number three is, you know, remember that I said affirmations need to be backed up by action? Well, the fastest way to know that you're about to know your right to set boundaries is to practice the behavior of setting boundaries. So the third key is to practice setting boundaries and gather evidence showing you that it's safe to do so. Even if there's a loss involved, it's ultimately safer to be able to set boundaries than not being able to set them. When you let someone go because they're not able to honor your boundaries, you're actually making room in your life for somebody who can and will and wants to. And that comes from you standing firm in your right to set boundaries. So you can do this with any boundary. But let's use the example of setting a boundary around your physical space. For instance, if physical touch, like unsolicited physical touch is a trigger for you, you don't want to be touched, but people touch you and then you trigger, but you don't say anything. uncomfortable and don't say anything, then practice in advance. Practice asking friends or family members that you trust to ask for verbal consent before any physical contact. It's practicing it. And so what this does is it can help to desensitize your discomfort over time, making it easier to assert your boundaries in less controlled environments. If I'd practiced setting boundaries with friends around my personal space, then I could have easily set a boundary with that man in the community pool. Absolutely. So if this episode resonates with you and you're ready to grow your capacity to set healthy boundaries, then I've created a pretty comprehensive guide that you can get on my website. And that's a guide to setting healthy boundaries. And these are just a few things that I shared from that guide. It's really comprehensive. And you can get that at my website at leilareyes.com. Leilareyes, and send me an email. There's a contact form you can reach out to. And the guide includes personal and reflective questions, encouraging self-discovery and personal growth around boundary setting, including insights on what boundaries mean to you, a deeper exploration into that, including your beliefs and messages around setting boundaries. So there'll be a deeper exploration around that. It includes awareness of situations that lack boundary in your life and identifying the boundaries that you would like to set, even if you can't right now. It includes ways to negotiate for your boundaries, how to deal with pushback, and how to reinforce your boundaries. The importance of a support system, it includes that I don't think we get anywhere. I'll say this over and over again. I don't think we get anywhere without a support system of some sort, and having self-compassion and patience with yourself. So there's some exercises there to help identify that and to guide you towards that self-compassion and patience, kindness with yourself instead of admonition. I did that for a long time with my younger self, and it doesn't work. It also includes writing. The guide includes writing a script to support yourself in setting boundaries and celebrating your wins in successfully setting boundaries. Celebration is so important as you acknowledge the changes and shifts and growth that you're experiencing. It also includes ways of gaining clarity of the boundaries that you want to set and freeing yourself of the impact of boundaries that you had no power to enforce. So that leads to compassion as well, deeper understanding. It also includes understanding the consequences of setting or not setting boundaries, both positive and negative, right? So we'll you'll dive into that a little bit. And also owning your personal strengths and maintaining your well-being while enforcing boundaries. So that's just a little bit. There's quite a bit more, but those are some of the highlights. Setting boundaries is a deeply personal and powerful step toward healing after abuse. Having healthy boundaries are not only valid, but essential for your personal well-being. Setting boundaries isn't a one-and-done deal. It's a way of life. It's about regaining authority over your body, your space, and your interactions with others. And in the beginning, setting boundaries can feel like an uphill battle or like you're walking through quicksand. But once you've learned how to set boundaries and you've had some practice, you stick with it and practice and practice and practice, it'll get easier and feel more natural and organic. And you actually won't have to think about setting a boundary. It will come organically in an appropriate way for the situation. So remember, if you want the guide, you can get it at leilareyes.com, Leilareyes. But whether you decide to get the guide I've created or move forward on your own, I encourage you to periodically reflect on the boundaries that you want to set or the ones that you found difficult to uphold. Developing a clear plan to communicate or reinforce your boundaries is absolutely vital, 100% important. And remember, seeking support is strength, not a weakness. Whether it's confiding in a trusted friend or engaging with professionals, you do not have to do this alone. There are communities and support groups that can offer solidarity and understanding and reinforce your experiences, you know, that they're shared by many. You know, your experiences are actually shared by many. Maybe not the exact experience, but the, you know, there are a lot of commonalities here, or we wouldn't be having this conversation. So thank you for allowing yourself to embark on this vital part of your healing journey. Recognize that setting boundaries transcends mere self-care. It's a profound act of self-affirmation and a critical step in reclaiming your security and autonomy. You stand not in isolation, but among a resilient community, and your bravery in protecting and honoring your needs is a testament to your enduring strength. So setting boundaries is not just an act of reclaiming control over your life and your body. It's a declaration of your worth and an essential stride towards a future where you feel safe, respected, and whole. Setting boundaries isn't just about saying no to what harms you, but also saying yes to what heals you. And so we can talk about that as well. What do you want to say yes to? And we will do that on another episode. But for now, I wish you all the best on your journey to freeing yourself from the impact of childhood sexual abuse. I'm Leila Reyes, signing off for now.
As we conclude this episode of Courageous Conversations, I want you to know that your willingness to participate in these conversations makes a difference. Healing is a journey, and you're not alone. If you're in need of support, please reach out and I'll do whatever I can to help. Until next time, this is Leila Reyes, signing off with a commitment to support you in getting free from the impact of sexual abuse.